Mubarak for you, it's my prayer. May you keep ascending success stair. Mubarak for you, it's my prayer. May you keep ascending success stair.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wassalatu wassalamu ala Sayyid al-Musaleen. Amma ba'd, a'udhu billahi min shaitan rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Salatu wassalamu alayka ya Rasulullah. Wa ala alika wa sahbika ya Habiballah. Salatu wassalamu alayka ya Nabiyallah. Wa ala alika wa sahbika ya Nurullah. There are also many blessings in reciting Durood-e Pak upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. The final messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam reported to have said that wherever you are, recite salat upon me because your salat reaches me. Sallu alal Habib. Again, we've said this many, many times. Please make it part of your daily routine to recite Durood-e Pak upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I was just thinking as I was saying that the nearest house to this masjid is probably come out across the road and a few houses over there, or a few houses over there. Them are probably the nearest houses to this masjid. And if you lived in them houses, for argument's sake, then after the Shishtama, the time it takes you to go from here to the nearest house that is to this masjid, and all of that time you utilize in just sending Durood-e Pak upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, by the time you get to the nearest house, you've probably recited 200, 300 times Durood-e Pak. Many of us that are here today, we live a further distance away. We've come in our cars. The time it gets out to go into your car, get in your car, start up the car, go onto the main road, get on the main roads, and get to your house. If you just utilize that time, just that time, then inshallah, you'll be amazed at how many times you recite Durood-e Pak upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And who knows that one extra Durood-e Pak that we recite today might make all the difference on the Day of Judgment. Dear Islamic brothers and viewers of Mother Channel, Qarun was the cousin of Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam. It is stated that he was extremely handsome. He was also an excellent reciter of the book, the Torah. And later on, he was granted immense wealth. According to narrations, when Qarun rode out, the keys to his treasures would be loaded onto several mules, just the keys. Despite receiving such wealth, instead of bowing before Allah Azza wa Jalla in gratitude, he turned arrogant and ungrateful. Qarun chose the path of rebellion and became a hypocrite. The scholars have said that Qarun harbored envy against Sayyidina Musa al-Islam. And over time, he formed a separate group of followers and he built a magnificent house adorned with a golden door and gold-plated walls. The Israelites would gather at his home, eat, chat, and amuse themselves with jokes, etc. And Sayyidina Musa al-Islam continued to treat him with exemplary kindness. However, Qarun constantly caused distress to Sayyidina Musa al-Islam, and his arrogant and his rebellious nature didn't stop him. Finally, when the obligation of zakat was revealed, the Prophet Musa al-Islam instructed Qarun to pay zakat. His greed overtook him, and he inciting extreme shamelessness. He bribed a woman with money and convinced her to falsely accuse Sayyidina Musa al-Islam of adultery. Though this woman initially agreed to it, because of the amount of wealth that she was going to get, when she stood in the assembly of the Israelites before Sayyidina Musa al-Islam, fear of Allah Azza wa Jalla overtook her, and she confessed the truth, exposing Qarun's malicious intentions. Upon witnessing this, Sayyidina Musa al-Islam was deeply saddened, and he lowered his head, and he prostrated and he did the dua. He said, Ya Allah, if indeed I am your true messenger, if I am your true messenger, then send down your wrath upon Qarun. The prayer of Sayyidina Musa al-Islam was accepted, and Allah Azza wa Jalla said to him, O Musa al-Islam, I have commanded the earth to obey your word. Command it as your wish. In response, Sayyidina Musa al-Islam commanded the earth, and it swallowed Qarun, his associates, and all his treasures. My dear Islam brothers and viewers of Mani Channel, the noble Quran, Allah Azza wa Jalla's Quran, has mentioned Qarun as a lesson for mankind. You know, just want to stop for a second here. Whatever is in the Quran, every single word, every single line is a lesson for us. It's a message for us. And if you look at the stories of the pious predecessors, the stories of the companions, the stories of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and you say to yourself that these stories have been passed down through thousands of, you know, over 1,000 years, 1,400 years in the case of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, 1,400 years in the case of the companions of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, thousands of years, 700 years, 1,000 years in the case of some of our pious predecessors. When these stories, the narratives are passed down from generation to generation, they're not passed down so that it's a good story. Oh, that's an interesting story, I'll tell my kids that. They're passed down so that we learn something from it. So maybe the scholar, the imam who stands in front of you and tells you about an event that took place in the past, ask yourself, what am I to learn from that? What can I learn from the event that took place? What can I learn from the life of the people? Because people feel disconnected. You know, say, oh, that was 700 years ago, that was 1,000 years ago, that was 1,400 years ago, and they feel disconnected. But if you look at the reason why them events were passed down to us, why they were recorded and passed down to us, there's a message there for all of us so we can learn something. We can always learn something from yesterday. Make a change in our life today so that we can have a better tomorrow. Allah Azza wa Jalla mentioned this event that took place in the Quran. And I'm going to give you the translation. It states here that indeed Qarun was from the nation of Musa. Then he transgressed against them. And we granted him so much treasure that its keys were certainly burdensome for a group of strong individuals. When his nation said to him, do not be vain. Allah does not like the conceited. And seek the abode of the hereafter and that which Allah granted you. And do not forget your share from the world. And do good, just as Allah has bestowed goodness upon you. And do not seek discord in the land. Allah does not like those who spread discord. In them, Ayat of the Quran, 5 pieces of advice were given to Qarun, that this is what you should be doing. They gave him this advice, but he didn't listen. And these 5 pieces of advice, these 5 things that were given to him, there are the lesson for us to learn. The first piece of advice that he was given was, Allah Azza wa Jalla said in the Quran, do not be vain. Allah does not like the conceited one. Do not be vain. And having this happiness inside our hearts when we receive something, whenever Allah gives you a blessing, there's 2 types of happiness. There's one happiness where you become arrogant and you show off and you start showing off to people that I've got this and I've got that. And that is not liked in Islam. That is distasted in Islam. There's another type of happiness. The happiness where you are thankful to Allah. Your heart softens. You reflect and think to yourself that I'm not deserving of this, but Allah Azza wa Jalla has given me this. This is the right thankfulness, the mindset that we should have. But unfortunately, many of us, when we get a blessing, when we get some extra money, when, you know, all of a sudden we've got a better job or we've achieved something in this world, you've just passed an exam, you know, you can get a better job, or so on and so on. This arrogance starts to come inside ourselves. That now I'm educated, now I'm powerful, now I'm this, now I've got money, now I've got status. Al-Deen doesn't teach us this. Al-Deen doesn't teach us that if you've got status, then you can look down on people. Al-Deen doesn't say to us that now you've got power and money, you can look down on people. Yes, when Allah Azza wa Jalla blesses you with these things are a test. And you should be thankful to Allah that Allah gave you this. You should have this mindset. And so when a blessing comes to you, you need to question yourself. That whenever Allah blesses us with something, this blessing that we get, wherever it is, in any form that it gets, it shouldn't result in us being arrogant all of a sudden. Just because all of a sudden you've got something in life doesn't make you better than anybody else. Just because all of a sudden you've got a lot of money doesn't make you better than anybody else. Just because you've got more power doesn't make you better than anybody else. I remember I was in a masjid once and the imams had asked the question. And I'll ask the question here. Who is the most pious person in this gathering today? Only Allah knows. Only Allah knows who is the best person amongst us. Only Allah knows. I remember the Imam Sahib, he beautifully said, he said that maybe that person that ran into the masjid, lastminute.com, to read his salah, and then ran out to the masjid to go back to earn a halal income, maybe he's the most pious person amongst us. Who knows? Nobody knows. And if we do not know, then why should we look down on other people? Just because I've got money? Just because I've got power? Just because I've got status? Just because I get education? Just because I've got position? Does that give me the right to look down on anybody? No, it doesn't. And we see that this was the mistake that he made. He had this arrogance inside himself. That I am better than anybody else. So we need to realize that whenever Allah Azza wa Jalla blesses us, ask yourself, how am I feeling? You know, am I thankful to Allah? That Allah Azza wa Jalla has blessed me? I remember there was a brother I met once. And he'd always been driving around in an old car. He'd always been driving around in a 300-400-pound, 500-pound car. Then all of a sudden he was blessed that he was able to get a 2,000-pound car. Again, not a new car, not a big car, nothing fantastic. And he said that whilst I was driving that car, the first day I was driving that car, I was crying. Crying, thinking to myself that Allah Azza wa Jalla has blessed me with this. I don't deserve this. I don't deserve such a good car. And it was only a 2,000-pound car, which again, a lot of people are going to say, I won't even drive around in a 2,000-pound car. It's too old for me. But for him, he realized that it was a blessing from Allah. And he was thankful to Allah. And that's the mindset that we should have. We should never become arrogant. We should never boast. We should never show off to people in front of other people. Instead, what we should do is show our thanks to Allah Azza wa Jalla. Be thankful to Allah. Reflect on these sort of things. Qarun received wealth which was a blessing from Allah, but he became arrogant. He rejoiced with pride. He boasted out of vanity. As a result, we see what his fate was. Allah Azza wa Jalla says in the Quran, and it's something that we all need to remember, all authority, power, and control belong solely to Allah Azza wa Jalla. What do we boast about? How can we be proud? What do we have to be arrogant about? What truly belongs to us? I remember reading somewhere that there's a pious person, he's passed away now, in one of his books he said that, what have you got to be pious about? What have you got to be proud about? Do you know what you're carrying around inside you? What you are carrying around inside you, and yet you're proud of yourself? You think you are something and what you're carrying around inside yourself? So again, we need to be humble, and our deen teaches us to be humble. We need to have that humbleness inside ourselves. And if you look at the people of the past, what attracted them to the deen of Islam is those people that are humble. You know, a fruit tree, it lowers its branches to give to people. As Muslims, we need to lower ourselves to give to people the deen of Islam. Be humble in front of people. Nobody's going to listen to you if you're arrogant. Nobody's going to listen to you if you're strict, if you're harsh. If you're humble, if you're soft, people will listen to you. Be it the deen of Islam, be it as parents with our children. Even with our parents, with our children, if we are harsh with them, if we're arrogant with them, they're not going to listen to us. They may listen out of fear, but ultimately they won't listen to us. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, whoever humbles himself for Allah, Allah elevates him. If we humble ourselves, Allah will elevate us. And I've used this example many times that a lot of people think, why should I get him, seek forgiveness from him? Does he not know who I am? I'm more powerful than him. I'm older than him. I'm wealthier than him. I'm this and that. And all these examples people come up with that they won't seek forgiveness from people. And those brothers that know me know that I know a little bit of Urdu, but my Urdu is a little bit weak. But there's a saying in Urdu. There's a saying in Urdu, and I've shared it before on Madani Channel, and I'm pretty sure I've shared it here before, that people say, they say that if you seek forgiveness from someone that is lower than you in status, if they seek forgiveness from someone that is younger than you, that is weaker than you, that is poorer than you, to kehte hain yaar meri nak kat jayegi. Log ye kehte hain meri nak kat jayegi, meaning my nose will be chopped off. I'm now in my mid-50s. I'm still looking for that person who doesn't have a nose. Abhi tak woh banda nahi mila. That person doesn't exist. This is just a saying. It doesn't exist. In fact, if you seek forgiveness from someone that is lower than you, weaker than you, younger than you, your nose doesn't get cut off. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells us, whoever humbles himself, Allah elevates him. Humble yourself. Allah will elevate you. Who do you want to impress? The person in front of you, Allah. Humble yourself and Allah will elevate you. The second piece of advice that was given to Qarun was, and seek the abode of the hereafter with that which Allah has granted you. This indeed is a beautiful piece of advice. The fourth Khalifa of Islam, Sayyidina Ali, radiallahu anhu, said, O people, the hereafter is approaching and the world is retreating. Both have their seekers. You should be the seekers of the hereafter. Do not become the seekers of the world. Allahu Akbar. This world is only a drop in the ocean. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam gives us a beautiful example. He said, if you were to put your finger in the ocean, and I'm sure I've mentioned this to you before, put your finger in the ocean, the water that is on your finger is the dunya. The water that is in the ocean, that is the akhirat. We spend our youth on worldly pursuits. If we expand our strength on worldly matters, both the world and our strength will vanish. If we invest our wealth in buildings in this worldly life, both the world and that wealth will perish. How many people have gone from this dunya? They built kotis, they built bungalows, they built businesses, they built big cars. Even around here, these houses that are in this vicinity, you know, some of these houses that are in these vicinities, they were probably built in the early 1900s. 120 years, them houses have been built, approximately. How many people have come and gone, born and died in these houses that we're living in, that we're so proud of? Where are they gone now? Where were our house go? All them things that you run around for day and night trying to create, what are you going to, you're not going to take it with you. You can't take anything with you. The only thing that you can take with you is two pieces of cloth. Materialistically, if we're talking about material things, the only thing that you will take with you is two pieces of cloth. Yes, your deeds, inshallah. And that's where we need to think, what am I trying to achieve in this dunya? Am I trying to achieve the dunya? Because if you run after the dunya, you'll never catch it. You'll never catch the dunya. But if you, I believe that if you run after the akhirat, the dunya will run after you. And I see those people. I know those people that have got this mindset of running after the akhirat and the dunya is running after them. So many opportunities come to them, but they push them aside because what? They have this mindset of the akhirat. We need to realize this. If we dedicate our youth, channel our strength, utilize intelligence, focus our thoughts, then inshallah Azawajal will achieve what is our ultimate goal. Our goal is not to have this dunya. I'm not saying to you that having that car, having that house, having that bank balance, there's nothing wrong with that. I've said that many times before. There's nothing haram in that. But that should not be our purpose in life, our only goal in life. Yes, I like to wear nice clothes. Yes, I like to have a nice car. Don't we all? But if that becomes my goal in life, and it takes me away from my true mission in life, then that is a problem for me. And we need to be worried of this. Once Sayyidina Umar bin Abdul Aziz, he set out on a journey. And in them times, what used to happen, they used to travel on camels. And what they used to do is they used to get their servants to go ahead. Go ahead and set up the tents so that when we get to there, we can just get off our camels and go straight in our tents. So the servants were sent ahead and the people sent off later. So imagine you set off on a journey, you send the people further ahead, and then 8-10 hours later you set off. So you get to the destination, the tents are already set up. Sulaiman bin Abdul Malik and others set their tents ahead. And Sayyidina Umar bin Abdul Aziz, he did not send any tents ahead. And so when he got to his destination, they got to the destination. Everybody got off the camels and went to the tents. But he didn't have a tent set up. So he went and sat under the tree and started crying there. And people started looking for him. And when they found him and they realized he was crying, they said to him, "Why are you crying?" He said, "I remembered the day of judgment. All of you sent your tents ahead. All of you sent your tents ahead. So when you arrived here, you went into your tents. On the day of judgment, what have I sent ahead? Have I sent anything ahead?" And looking around me, it reminded me of the day of judgment that, okay, you sent the tents ahead. You sent the people ahead. What have we sent ahead? What have we sent forward? Or have we put everything, all our efforts into this dunya? Again, something for us to ponder over. You know, whatever wealth Allah Azza wa Jalla has given you, you need to think about this, that Allah Azza wa Jalla has given you this. A lot of people have this false mindset that, and they write in the will that when I pass away, give this, you know, open up a madrasa, when I pass away, do this, when I pass away, do this with my wealth. From a Shari'i point of view, there's only a certain amount that you can, you know, put into that kind of a will. But I remember reading an incident there where someone passed away and he wrote in his will that I have a warehouse full of dates. These dates, when I pass away, distribute them amongst the poor. So when he passed away, they opened the warehouse full of dates. So they distributed amongst the poor. And when the warehouse was empty, there was a person, he looked in the warehouse and there was a crushed date on the floor. You know, when you're transporting things, some things fall on the floor. There was a crushed date on the floor. And the person picked it up and he said, "If this person, whilst he was alive, had donated just this, he would have got more sawab than donating all of that warehouse after he passed away." That wealth that you've got once you've died, it's not yours. It's not yours to donate. It's not yours to spend. Now is the time to spend in the way of Allah. Now this time is to spend in the way of Allah. Not after. It's not your wealth. It becomes part of the inheritance. Your wealth is gone. You know, they say that when you go to the grave, the family come with you, your wealth come with you, your deeds come with you, your family return, your wealth return. The only thing that's left with you is the deeds. As soon as people pass away, the family are already looking at the wealth. Oh, sure, he's passed away, I'll have his car. I'll have that plot of land. I'll do this. And all of a sudden, your family are looking at your wealth. That wealth that you've run around for all your life, you worked so hard for. And now they're looking at it. Who's going to take the car? Who's going to take the house? Who's going to take the plot? Who's going to take the bank balance? Who's going to take the gold? It's all been automatically, as soon as you pass away, the mind starts thinking about the distribution of your wealth. But the question remains, what have you sent forward? What have you sent forward? The third piece of advice that he was given, and do not forget your share from the world. In this verse, it is stated, do not forget your share in the world. What does this mean? Regarding this, a scholar has mentioned, this refers to the shroud, that this is the share of your world. The share of the dunya that we have is your shroud. Everything else is going to disappear. We may spend our entire lives earning, buying luxury cars, mansions, bungalows, billions of money, but the only thing we will take with us is our shroud. That's the only thing we will take with us. The fourth piece of advice that he was given, and do good just as Allah has bestowed goodness upon you. Meaning just as Allah has shown kindness unto you, you should show generosity by giving in charity, spending your wealth on righteous deeds, comforting the hearts of the poor and needy, and elevating the hunger of the destitute. Allahu Akbar. The crown of the Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani, rahmatullah, has said that you are the trustees over this wealth, this money that you've got. You are the trustees of it. And I've said it before that whatever money you have got, it has been given to you by Allah. It has been given to you by Allah. Remember this. Again, this type of arrogance comes inside ourselves. Again, we were talking about arrogance earlier on. This arrogance comes inside ourselves that I've earned it. I worked hard for it. I worked 12 hours a day for it. I have to do this for it. I have to do that for it. I studied 4 years. I did a degree. I did an MBBS. I did a house job. I did all of these things to be able to get to the position I have. I've done all these things. And now you're saying that after all that, that wealth that I get is not mine? Who give you the strength? I mentioned this before. Who give you the strength to work? Who give you the intellect to go and do them courses? Who give you the opportunities? You know, many of the people, I'm looking around the room and I see many people here that have come from a Pakistan or Indian origin. Maybe not you, maybe not your father, maybe your grandfathers. They came from their countries. What is the difference between you sitting here today and a person sitting at the side of the road selling pens? Sitting in the heat with a cart selling fruit. What is the difference between you and him? Nothing. You are not a unique creation. You are the same human being. Allah Azza wa Jalla give you the opportunity to our forefathers to come to this country to have a better life. There is no difference between you and them. The only difference is, in one way, if you look at it, your test is now stronger. Because they will not be questioned about their wealth on the Day of Judgment because they don't have it. You will be questioned. You'll be questioned about all the blessings that Allah Azza wa Jalla bestowed upon you. What did you do with that wealth? You'll be questioned about that. So the fifth point that we mentioned, he said, and do not seek discord in the land. Allah does not like those who spread discord. This is also an important piece of advice. It means Allah has granted you wealth and riches. Allah Azza wa Jalla has bestowed such favors upon you. Do not commit sins. Do not use these blessings in disobedience. So what happens is sometimes because we've got money, we've got wealth, we've got all these things, then we use these things to commit sins. Your youth that you have, the strength that you have, if you use that youth in ibadat, in worshipping Allah, so you'll get the reward. But you could use that youth in doing whatever you want, and then what? The wealth that you've got, you know there are five questions that you'll be questioned. Five questions you'll be questioned about. Your wealth, your youth, where did you utilize it? How did you earn your wealth? How much did you act upon the knowledge that you acquired? And how did you spend your life? Where did you get the money from? Was it halal? Where did you spend that money? Did you spend it in halal? What knowledge did you act upon? And how did you spend your life? You know, Allah Azza wa Jalla has enabled us to acquire the knowledge of the deen. If you don't act upon that knowledge, you'll be questioned. You know, in previous times, it was hard to acquire the knowledge of the deen. But now Allah Azza wa Jalla has blessed us, and we need to act upon that. We need to utilize that knowledge. And ponder over yourself the five questions that I mentioned to you. Your youth. What are you going to say to Allah when you ask the question, what did you do with your youth? What did you do with your money? What did you do with your life? You know, and you need to analyze yourself. You know, when you go on a journey, Let's say, for example, in this country, you're on the M1. If you're heading south on the M1, you know if you keep on heading south, you're going to go towards London. If you're heading north, you're going to end up at Leeds. So you can tell by the direction that you're going on, if you keep on this direction, you're going to end up there. If you keep on this direction, you can end up here. Ask yourself, look at your life. Which direction am I going? And if I continue in this direction that I'm going now, where will I end up? Where will I end up? Will I end up in a position where hopefully I will please my Creator? Or will I end up in a position where it's the opposite? So we need to analyze our life and reflect on our lives. We need to do our own, you know, when you go to the doctors and they do a check and they do a blood test. And when they do a blood test, it comes back and the doctor says, you know, you've got a bit of iron deficiency, you've got a bit of this, you've got a bit of that, and you need to do this. And so you change your life accordingly. Now, I can't do a blood test that checks which direction your life is going in. I can't do a blood test to check, you know, whether your namaz is valid, whether your fasting is valid, all of these things. But you need to analyze that. You need to do your own test. You need to be your own doctor. And by analyzing yourself and seeing which direction your life is going in, you need to make the necessary changes. In the same way, when the doctor says you've got high sugar levels, you stop eating sugary things. When he says you've got high cholesterol, you stop eating fatty things. When you look at your life and ask yourself, which direction am I going in? If I continue doing this, but then you need that knowledge to be able to analyze yourself. In the same way the doctor needs the knowledge to analyze the blood, you need the knowledge. Am I backbiting? Am I committing this sin? Am I committing that sin? Am I slandering? Am I swearing? On all of these sins of the heart that we're aware of. Arrogance we mentioned earlier on. Boasting we mentioned earlier on. Showing off, riyakari, all of these things. You need to be aware of this. And in the same way you become aware of the physical aspects of your life, about what can affect your life and what needs to change in yourself, you need to be aware of the spiritual things that can affect your heart. Because a person, if he dies, and he dies a diabetic, for argument's sake, he dies with high cholesterol, that will not affect his grave. But if he dies with all of these sins that we just mentioned, that will affect his grave. So yes, we need to live a healthy life. I'm not saying don't live a healthy life. But we also need the healthy body and we also need the healthy heart as well. I pray to Allah Azza wa Jalla, if I've said anything wrong, may Allah Azza wa Jalla forgive me. I pray to Allah Azza wa Jalla that we are amongst those fortunate ones that get the forgiveness of Allah and we get our sins forgiven. Ameen bi jahin nabi ameen. Sallu ala al-habib.
May you keep ascending success. Said, O Mubarak, for you is my prayer. May you keep ascending success. Said.